Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The Premier View Tipperary GAA podcast has just got its very first sponsor. The podcast is now proudly sponsored by MerchMonster.ie. On MerchMonster.ie, you can buy personalised hoodies, t-shirts, polo shirts, personalised snood face coverings, and a whole lot more. They've even got a product personaliser over on their website. Go over there and check it out now. They deal in one-off orders and also in bulk orders, class hoodies, team and work polo shirts, and everything else in between. Go over there and check them out now. It's merchmonster.ie. Now let's get back to this week's show.
Hello and welcome to episode 47 of the Premier View Tipperary GAA podcast. We are back after a week's holidays. My name is Michael McCarthy and we have a bumper edition lined up for you this week. I'm joined by a man who has tasted defeat not once but twice in 24 hours in the Cattle Cup. Welcome, Tullis star Sean Smith. How are you getting on?
Good now.
Good. And later on we'll be joined by a greyhound who's still licking his wounds after being beaten by a West team in the Tracy he'll be on. So this week we have for you, Championship is back, but there's no sign of Marty yet. So Enda speaks to former Clare hurling maestro Colin Ryan ahead of their first round game with Waterford. And we look at the two games in Leinster. Our Fantasy Hurling League is up and running. Enda has his team picked. I have my team picked. And Sean, you'll have to get on that quick enough. And we'll have a bit of crack with that over the coming weeks. And we round off this week's podcast with the pod team picking their Tipperary team for the round one game in 10 days time. But first, we will stay local. Monday night, the county championship draws were on in Hurling. Sean Smith, Sayre's got a tough one. It's probably the group of the championship, would you think?
In the Danbreen, or sorry, in the shape.
The Danbreen.
I started with Danbreen. Yeah, it's a bit of kind of a local rivalry game with Drum is always there. Structure to give you a hard game no matter what, that's for sure. Air Oaks, where you know defeat is there. Back there two years ago, it was in Dundrum, and we won't talk about that day anyway ever again. So we'll take it. Like, you know, there's no such thing as easy groups nowadays in Danbreen. There are teams there meriting, to be fair. Like, there probably is one or two teams maybe that are weaker, but most teams are trying to three teams that are going to be fighting out for the top two, to be fair.
Yeah, the Danbreen is a very tough competition, as you said, and like there's no easy team, really. No, anyone can beat anyone. I mean, you would have probably said Airogue were the weakest team in that group, and they came out and like they bet you by what, 7 or 8 points that time back 2 years ago. And the Church are nearly been there for the last couple of years. I think they finished third, and it's been like points difference.
And same when they play division, they always caught with late goal or late points. Yeah. You know, they're so close, but until they win the games, it's so close. Yes, so far, kind of thing.
Yeah, and then what Drum last year got to, was it the semi-final of the county beat Boris Lee on penalties?
Yeah, and they surprised people last year. They were, you know, kind of people weren't expecting them to go as good as they did.
Yeah,
but the younger lads coming through now is the one thing there.
That's it. Yeah, should have was a minor hurling winning team there 3 years ago. So them lads are 21, so they'll be good. And well, they won the B 2 years ago and the A, or sorry, the B 3 years ago and the A 2 years ago. So they are certainly going to be an up and coming team. And sure, any team that has Shamie Cannon, you're not to bed yourselves then, obviously. It'll be a tough one. I wouldn't like to be picking the two teams to come out of that group. Group two then has Indus Tuam are in it with Tenalty, their old rivals. Tenalty, they seem to get picked together a lot. Holy Cross and newcomers Mullinahone, who are just up from Seamus O'Regan. Again, probably not an easy group. Holy Cross and Tenalty were together last year and drew. Tuam have been, I suppose, a little bit inconsistent, have they? They were getting out of the group. We can't get past quarterfinals.
Yeah.
Who would you fancy in that one?
I fancy Tuam and Holy Cross. I don't know why. Just kind of they're capable of, but yet they're also can also have a mayor at the same time. You could say not a mayor, but kind of, you know, they could. A lot of it depends on the first round game and most groups, and that would be similar. Like, you know, like most teams probably want to get Mullinahone first, to be honest, get a win the board. You know, and then if Tuam and Connaught are drawn first and one of them lose, they're on the back foot straight away. Say if Holy Cross score and Mullinahone, that's the way I'd be seeing it.
Yeah. No, again, it's hard to pick it. Group three sees county champions Killadangan, and they are in with Lochmore, JK Brackens, and Mike Carkey. Again, there's probably nothing easy there. Brackens are a common team. Lochmore and Killadangan, there'll be a Lochmore will want to reverse that result from the county final. And Mike Arkey are a team that are coming, and again, good underage, but probably haven't really stepped up yet, have they?
Yeah, they probably haven't, but they're a lot of younger lads coming through again. Max Hack and a few lads. And Brackens now have more kind of big marquee names, you say, at the moment than had it over the years. So, like, both of them, like, Brackens won't be fearing Lochmore. Like, Lochmore going to be playing football and hurling and back-to-back. So, again, like last year, they couldn't up. Being worn down, but then the group stage is the start of the year, so she should get out. She should see Killadangan and Lochmore get out, but sure, every group will have a shock, I think. And
like Killadangan and Lochmore, as you said, are favourites to come out of that one. But I'm like you, have kind of a sneaky feeling for the Brackens. Cadell obviously is top class, they have Andrew Ormond, and then Corcoran is managing them. So, I mean, they're not going to be found wanting when it comes down to it,
no, that's for sure.
Yeah, and then group four is a group of the North, Boris and Nina, Kilron and Ros Gray. I suppose on paper, Ros Gray are probably the whipping boys, or certainly the weaker of the four teams, but I couldn't even pick two to come out of that because there'll be carnage.
I think Ros Gray will get a scalp in one, the big three any there, like, so you couldn't call that group. That's like Killaran were third seed, and whatever group they went into would have been difficult. So if they were in another group, you'd be saying the same thing, like, you know.
Yeah. 2 years ago, Killaran, I saw them in Templetuohy against Tenalty. And I mean, they destroyed Tenalty. I think they were 8 or 10 points to
the absolute Eamon Shea was in the far line, having pulling the strings, and they were unstoppable. Like.
That's right. And then a week later, they just flopped in the stadium. They had burst. It was a Boris they played, wasn't it? I think it was Boris.
Not sure.
And then a third seed. They're a team again that have so much talent, and
when they're flowing, they're a joy to watch. And they have that Eamon Shea kind of forward. They always tip forward style. Balls going diagonal into space, popping on the bar. You couldn't stop them. They played us there as well. The same situation. Just you know, when they're flowing. But when it doesn't click from then, teams can have their number then.
Yeah, Nina, the same. Same old Nina, probably they could get caught, or they could win their three games by a cricket score. We just don't know what they're going to come out with. Boris, they haven't gone away, I suppose. They have county men. Ray McCormack looks like he's have to turn into a beast. He's on the extended panel for the seniors as well, I heard during the week. So, I mean, and going well as well. So he's they're not going to be easily beaten at any stage.
That's for sure, yeah. And like Boris Lee kind of mind you don't mind from kind of day like more and you never have Boris Lee bit really, no, you'd be always plugging away in, but they're still one team. And as I say, like if you get some odds if you pick the two teams from every group and got it right, will be one upset or two. Like that's the thing. Like at least something to start talking about and teams to start prepping towards where they're going. One kind of thing I don't kind of like from the draw. No, it's harder seasons, but like the way the four North teams are together, the first three teams out in our group are all mid teams. No, it's a county championship. Yeah. We kind of end up playing the same teams, kind of, you know, again. I know it's the championship is getting fixed itself gradually over the years, but it's just kind of one thing just I don't know how you avoid that.
Well, I suppose it's very hard to avoid it considering we'll say there's only three teams from the other two divisions, you know. So there isn't a great mix really, is there? You know.
It's hard to do, like until you get more teams in, but it's just well, lads, look, that's all in our team together again, and we're playing so and so again. That's kind of what you just hear at the moment.
Yeah. Well, like, I mean, you've what, three mid teams in group one, three mid teams in group three, and then you've four North teams in four, you know. Mm. So it's actually group two has won from each division.
Yeah, that's what you want. That's the county championship group, like, you know.
Yeah. But look, I suppose that's up to ourselves here in the West and the South to get our act together and get more teams up there to
yes, and step up from the arena and order. And the arena, likewise, some of them groups, Jesus, like, it's couldn't even draw one team to come out of them, let alone two.
Yeah. So, yeah, look, looking at the arena draw there, you're in group one again of that with Burgess, the Swan, and Killadangan. It's
not nice.
No, Burgess obviously are quite a good team. The Swan are I suppose they're a team that can do anything on a day, but they've probably found their level there and are very competitive.
Yeah, we've met them before that level and they've always been got a better of us and ahead of us. Killangan, it depends on how the A's go. If they get don't use 16, 17, 18 A's like ourselves, they'll be very competitive. Well,
yeah. So then group two then has Newport, Temple Derry, the Mines, Clonakilty. Again, I suppose it's very hard to pick Newport and the Mines. Newport, the Mines, and Temple Derry, I suppose that's it. There, three teams.
Last year, Temple Derry were touted as favourites. I remember seeing out there, they were down as favourites. Now, where that kind of came from last year, maybe, which is a stranger, but they come out of that group with the Mines.
Newport probably threw away the James Arena last year, so they'll be looking to. They look very good now in the games I saw. I mean, the streaming was great last year for that. You know, I got to see
more teams.
I thought they should have won last year and they got caught by one. They'll be there thereabouts. Group three has intermediate champions Gortnahoo. Probably surprise champions in the intermediate Gortnahoo. But how did they go against Yee tonight? I know you said
they looked good now tonight in the Carrick Cup, the better than the final by good few points in them, but they looked like a team that wanted to win it. You know, they're a bit drive about, we know there was a good buzz around their team and they know they're up for everything. And to be fair, like, they've come on leaps and bounds their last number of years of development they've done outside and stuff. So they earned it and they're putting in the work.
For
sure.
Yeah, and then intermediate champions from the year before them, then the Tracys are in that group as well. Tracys, as we know, are a tough team. They're very even. Paddy Carey and Shawnee Rogers probably stand out. But, I mean, other than that, they are very even all around the field. And they're a tough team. And I think they're being coached by one Doodles is with them, John Connors, and a guy from Patrick's well, so they're not going to be they'll be well coached and a good team. Ballina, of course, are quite good, and Killinall, who on paper are the best team in that, but never produce, I suppose. And
same when we played last year. I know they won them, but no, when they have a full fit team and a good bubbles like in there, they should be coming out of that group. And if foreign bubbles on this year, you know, you expect them to drive them and get them on out of that. Like nice Killinall, to be honest. From the kind of background that I know you have to earn getting up to Anne Breen, but You know, I wouldn't even mind seeing getting up.
Yeah, and then Group 4 has Laura, Portro, Mary's and Cashel. Another very tough group, like hard to pick a winner. We have we've two Laura lads on the podcast team, and I don't know, would they even be picking their own to come out of that? It's a tough group, isn't it?
Yeah, we played Laura on that level last year. We bet them in the end in Toome by a few points. I think it was right cracking game, not between them. We played Portro as well. We caught them in Dalla. We play Mayors over here, and Cash now come up, and Cash have proven it. And if transfers go through, and DDP is going to get back, that could be the group where that's we're going to see Cash play a game, you know, to see how the Browns and Rhines fare out, that's for sure.
Yeah, and Port and Mary's, as you said, Mary's quite a good team as well, driven on by Seamus Kendi. A lot can depend on the football there, but
yeah, and they're actually playing Mary's, they're playing Cash and the County League this again, and all. So, you know, it could be kind of a both teams might do a bit of shadow boxing there and see where they're at for this.
So I mean, it's a good competition again, very hard to pick a winner. Newport obviously won from last year, Killinall on paper, and then Cashel, I suppose, would have to be looked at if things go their way on these transfers.
And after that, then you could put them into a hat, to be honest, you know.
That's it, yeah. Intermediate hurling, then. Very even competition all around. Jesus, we got an awful group, in my opinion. We're in group one with Mine, Borsakane and Drum. I don't know. Mine, normally they always do well in the group stages.
They come out, when they come out first, and then you're in left pot waiting to get drawn and hurry going. It's like, Jesus.
Yeah.
You want that. Especially Drum at the start and the group stage, well, Drum are going to be strong with at the start of the year. Like all clubs have second teams, they'll be strong.
I don't know what does that rule. It's probably going to go on grading for the senior and intermediate. They won't have to name 18. So, probably avoiding them in the first round game is probably the best option, you know. We played Borsakane 2 years ago, drew with them in Kilcommon. Quite a good game, actually, you know. But I don't know, are we as good as we were 2 years ago? But sure, we'll see how. I think Mine, the way they play in the group stages, will probably come out of that. Group two then, the Kickhams, the Davins, Ballybacon and Moneygall. Very even again. Kickhams obviously even, potentially down players. Moneygall they're being managed by Temple Moorman, Paul O'Brien this year. They'll be up for it. Ballybacon, we played them last year. There was they beat us in Scientific Town, we were 10 points up and they came back to beat us. So Cummins pulling all the strings from them. And then the Davin are up from June or 2 years now, so they'll be finding their feet again. Another tough group. Group three: Orlahan, Golden, Kilsheelan, Mile Rovers. Two county semi-finals from 2 years ago. County semi-finals from last year. Orlahan, was it?
Yeah, that's one thing. Intermediate, like every year, all teams get run 1 year, and trying to decide what team gets run this year is near to impossible. Like that's what it's so competitive about.
Absolutely, any of the teams can win it. And then rounding it off, we have Ballingarry, Ballinahinch, Shannon Rovers, and whoever comes out of the junior, which the final is to be on in 2 weeks' time. Arvel Rovers are in the final. As I said at the start, they beat Toomey Vara last week. And Grange Mauchler, who won the South at the weekend, play Holy Cross. So,
I'd fancy Arvel there, not now to be fair to come to big two.
Yeah, I suppose if you're to look at it on over the last couple of years, Toome have been thereabouts, and they were strong, and the Rovers beat them. So, I'd like to see the Rovers come back up. And they went down, I think, 2 years ago. Found it hard. They were finding their feet in it last year. You know, it's like everything when you go down,
they have that bit of, they're better than the junior team, to be fair, from what I've seen of them bit this year and the scene last year and over the years, you know.
They have a star performer in Johnny Ryan.
He can score. Like a lad from junior, I can get a couple points from midfield from play. I get some play, I suppose. It's, you know, it is one thing to have, to be honest.
So as we said, they're all quite even groups, and we'll probably look at that probably more in depth in the the coming months just before the championship starts. But there's been games on around the county. Sean, you were in the West at the weekend for the Junior B final. Everyone was expecting a cracker. Cashel ran away with it, didn't they, the Junior B in the division.
Yeah, started off close, but then Cashel just got through and they're kind of better. They're more hurlers on the team. Not hurlers, but more lads that could take scores, and they took a few goals and kind of ended up being a runaway lead in the end. Just one thing I was complimenting, the pitch and golden was exceptional. As always.
Unreal.
Couldn't believe it. Jesus. Like, and then the lads told me they have driving bingo on it. It's like, what kind of surface have you out here?
Yeah.
So, you know, it is exceptional, but Cashel were worthy winners, to be honest. And it's good to see the likes of a town here that, you know, like fellow town clubs to say here, but like good to see the likes of Cashel win that level coming up, because they need to be higher for what they have over there, like, you know. And,
yeah, I think they're going up Junior A anyway, regardless of whether they win
the Bradens,
Junior B. They're probably going to go up Junior A anyway.
And the standard Junior B, that was even at Junior A level. You know, that's the one thing I know as well. Like, it's like the lads catching balls and touch. It was Junior B now has gone up a level again.
It has, yeah. Junior B has gone up a level. I suppose that's why the introduction of the Junior C is good for the old social kind of hurler. Mm-hmm. You know, the lad that wants to turn up and just play a game. But yeah, Junior B, they're training like, I suppose, teams were 10 years ago. Don't top class teams, they're putting in the effort at Junior B level now. So. Down south, as we've said, Grange Mochler, they beat the Swan. Poor Al Colum will be licking his wounds. He'd be another one licking his wounds tonight if he was here. The Swan beaten by their near neighbours, Grange Mochler. Grange Mochler are a common club, aren't they? They're in the 21 football final and now into a Junior A semi-final.
Yeah. For sure, like, and another team that kind of been there over the years, and you'd hear them peering into these kind of finals and stuff, and they're putting in the work to get there, that's for sure.
Yeah. County leagues are also back. Was it second rounds of the groups of five in the hurling were on and football last weekend and round one of the hurling the week before. Great to have loads of games to look at and to go to, isn't it?
Jesus, more games on. You could have four or five games a week if you want to go to a match your own club. Like,
yeah.
We played last night, tonight. I think we're playing Sunday and Monday again. Friday, actually. Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's savage.
It is. It's great. It's great to have those games back. See, the streaming is back up and running with a few clubs. And we're getting, 200 or 100 into the games now. And hopefully that goes
officially,
up.
Sure, it's the same.
Well, yeah.
It's like everyone does. You'll find a ball somewhere. Yeah, you know?
And then up to 200 in the 5th of July is what they're saying. But I mean, I see we're having 2,500 at the Limerick and Cork game on the 3rd. Is it Saturday week?
Yeah, they're going into new stand, old stand, a few declining terrace as well. So again, I don't know what way it'll work, but to be honest, 2,500 is going to be lost, as I'm saying.
I know
it's getting people back and all, but like when we are letting in 6,000 out to the Euro semis there, like in a couple of weeks' time, and, you know, like, 100 people in Clyne Terrace is, there's 100 people in the bank tonight in the Newfield out in the Sarahs and whatever, you know. So, like,
yeah,
you know, it's all reviews and that, but
what's 2,500? Would that's not even 5%, is it?
It goes with the seating capacity,
right,
which is about 25 or 6 in Thurles. So, 10%, probably 10% of that, then would it be given?
Yeah, 10% of seats, right? Yeah, so it's still not, it's ridiculous, really.
It's not yet. And then trying to distribute tickets, like, where do you, what way do you go there? Like, you know, one to each club, like,
yeah,
it's. It's good to get people back, but it's very, very kind of nervous and, you know,
slow, yeah. But you're looking,
even the test events aren't proven. And what we learned from 3,000 Crow Park, may as well have, like, you were learning out from that, you know.
No, I mean, like, well, what do we get? Five and a half to 7,000 is that the most we get at county finals in the stadium? And even and at that, they're probably clustered together, but there's loads of space. I mean, if they were spread out, social distancing, they'll be lost, right? In the stadium. So I don't even know how you can test 2,500 in there, but sure, that is what it is.
More Thurles just coming for that match. Just, you might have Cork or Limerick lad rock on the train and just go drinking around the town.
Yeah.
I'd be doing that if I was from there now.
outdoor dining. If it's a good weekend, yes, I suppose drinking and a lot of people would have been out in the street anyway, having a few cans or pints. So, I mean, that'll probably happen again, you know. So, but there's more, probably more people or more clusters of people like in Dublin or Limerick or Cork along the quays there when at the weekends, you know. And here we are being ultra careful with games and that, you know. So, yeah. So what else have we? Oh, yeah. The saga, the West saga still rumbles on. The Brown Rhines, and they got their transfer, and now Kickhams have appealed it. So I suppose that's where it is now. It's a tough one. I was dead against it at the start, I have to say, and now I'm kind of going, geez, will it ever just wrap up? And I'm sure a lot of lads are like that as well, you know, just kind of.
To make a right Netflix documentary, anyway, for sure.
That's
the back and forth. But it's just kind of getting dragging on now. And again, Mike, you might know more. Like, the players have to register by a certain date, or like, are they like.
No, they got, would say the clubs and the players have got a special dispensation. That
have they?
Because it's running on past the deadline that once it's sorted, they can register wherever they need to register. But, like, I think I don't think it's unfair to say that at this point they're not going to hurl for the Kickhams this year, whatever way the ruling goes. Like, so, I mean, like, I'm all for the parish rule. I think it's great. It keeps the GA alive in small parishes around the place. But at the same time, if you're going to lose four or five lads to the GA because of the parish rule, Maybe we do need to look at it.
Yeah.
I mean, it certainly hasn't been easy for them to move. So I don't think anyone is going to turn around next year and say, geez, I want to hurl for the Sayers and just hurl for the Sayers. Like, so I don't think the parish rule is going to be gone.
No, there's so much work gone into this behind the scenes. Like, it's, yeah. You know, the cost and everything. It's so, like, that's something to still drop a hat. But as you say there, they're not going to hurl for Kickhams this year. Will Herve Cashel end is another thing. That's kind of where I see it.
Well, I suppose that just depends on whether they get it. If they get the transfer, I'm sure they will be hurling for Cashel. And I think Cashel have signed the paper, so they're willing to bring them into the fold. But I mean, if it goes against them, I think there's no way they're hurling for Kickhams. So they're going to be lost to the game and for the year anyway. And probably down the line, they're not going to hurl for Kickhams anymore. With what's gone on, so it's. I mean, do we just? You can't just wash your hands of them. I mean, they're four young players, like.
Yeah, with that have that had like you know, and like a lot of them being the county panelists, and would be there maybe now if they had a club and other circumstances, you know. But so it is. You don't want to see lads not hurling either. That's one thing.
Exactly. We don't want to see, but sure, that's that hearing is, I don't know, I think it could be another week or more, so the story will rumble on. I'm sure we'll have to come back to it again in the future. So this weekend, we have the start of the Hurling Championship, which is great. We've been waiting bloody 8 long months for it. Sean, Waterford and Clare, I know Inda is speaking to Colin Ryan about the game. Looking forward, are you looking forward to it?
Yes, I'm here in town there. So looking forward to one bit of go to, but only be, I think it's only 200 going to it actually. But it's kind of game I saw a couple weeks ago. Waterford were probably a good bit ahead, but now I'm kind of feeling more, not Clare winning, but closer than I would have thought and kind of what we've seen in the league and stuff.
Yeah, the Tony Kelly effect is going to be huge here, isn't it? He will probably be the best hurler on the field at the weekend. Whether he's on the winning team at the end is another day of the week. But I mean, he's an outstanding player, and if he hurls well, like what did they score? Did he score 20 points out of 34 in Clare's last?
Give or take, yeah.
I mean, enough, so. Phenomenal scoring in any grade.
And every team tries to hold him, but it's rarely done. Like, however, he just must be on the visible cloak or something there.
I suppose from a tip point of view, we have a lot of interest in this game. We have the winners of it. We fell to Waterford in the last game of the league there, whatever, 10 days ago, and disappointingly fell to them. I would say we were going well and then got outscored massively in the second half. So
yeah, especially the team we'd out as well. You know, Lee went to a strong team and when you see that team and kind of disappointing result in the end, you're kind of wondering why didn't we try other lads then if you went out with that and didn't get a result, and that's kind of.
But I was thinking about this, and I was disappointed, obviously, then. I was wondering, Jesus, where are Tip going? But we were 4 weeks at that stage, or sorry, 3 weeks at that, no, 4 weeks, 4 weeks at that stage from our first round game. So we were at a way different point in our readiness, you know. So, whereas Waterford were 2 weeks out, they're very near to being primed, you know, for championship. So there could have been a bit of that in
the second half. Not then for Tip, then you think it was a game instead of just would have thrown in more the kind of lads that we haven't seen as much of that we've been talking about. Instead then is, and then see a walk out and you'd learn more. They're going to learn more. If we said we're going to learn more from that game anyway, we don't lose anyway.
It's very hard to know, but I'm maybe that's just being positive about it, that we were maybe training that bit harder that week in the lead up to the game, and the legs were a bit heavier because we have more time to get fitter, you know. So that's the Liam Cahill effect, of course, as well. We'll have Tip interest in seeing how Liam gets on again.
I think Clare will deal with kind of running again, the Waterford goal kind of through the middle, their pace and speed busting in. Like, what kind of, how are Clare going to, are they not going to let Waterford get on the ball? Are they going to drop a man back? You know, what way could Clare counter that?
Yeah, I think you'll probably see Kelly, wherever he's named, they'll probably play in the middle of the field and certainly be looking for loose ball in around that half back line and trying to dictate things. He's super fit. I don't know, is Galvin around? He's certainly on the panel, but whether he'll play. Shane Golden has been playing quite well for them. It's hard to know. They'll have to stop. They'll have to stop the likes of Callum Nines up and down the line. I mean, he's another main man for Waterford now, and he'll need to be stopped. Where will he pick Ozzie Gleeson? I presume the middle of the field based on the Tip game. It doesn't seem like he's going to pick him centre back.
No, I don't. I think he's not like me, but he's not. Clare could target him if he's centre back.
It's a tough game to call. I'm on the Waterford side of it because of the way the league has gone, and they played quite well during the league and have carried on that form from last year, which I suppose was a bit of a surprise last year. But then maybe we shouldn't be surprised with the way Cahill sets up his team and what he expects from the players that play for him. So. I'm going with Waterford. I think they will win it, but I wouldn't be surprised if Tony Kelly comes out of it with man of the match.
Yeah, it's a game. Yeah, I'd be Waterford, but I give Clare more a chance than I would have a month ago somehow, kind of way.
But as I said, Inda is speaking to Colin Ryan about that match. There's two other games on at the weekend, Wexford in Leinster, Wexford and Laois and Dublin and Antrim. Wexford played Laois in the league, gave them quite a good hiding. I think it was 4-17 to 10 points. You would have to expect that Wexford would win again this weekend. Davy will surely have them primed and foaming at the mouth as only Davy can.
That's for sure, yeah. And then in the other side of the draw, like Antrim had such a good league campaign. Dumb bet them in the lead, though. Didn't they bet them well, I think it was, in the end of the 10 points or something.
They did. They played them. They beat them in the league.
But then Antrim round. Set the odds a few times, and all. So like Antrim beat, like it's a game now going into that. I know Dublin bet my last Antrim are nothing to lose. They won't be fearful now.
Yeah, and Darren Gleeson's doing quite a good job with Antrim. They're playing well and they're running. They ran Kilkenny quite close in was it the first round of the league? Thought they were going to win it actually at one stage, but they've. McManus is on the freeze for them. McKenna there, he gets a couple of points and Clark, you know, their Antrim have.
They drew, drew Wexford as well in the league as well, you know, so they were. I often got an old message on my phone and the lads WhatsApp there on the Sunday. Just, lads, Antrim here are a point up or a point two or three up and it all jinxed, it all ended up being a draw or losing. But, you know, everyone saw the results and they're getting shocked. But the way as you said, Darren Gleeson hasn't moved, like, it's not to kind of get shocked about if they're hurling. They love it up there.
Dublin is probably a team that are in decline, though, going backwards, are they, under this management?
I think this kind of team may have run their course. Like, you wouldn't, they were a team that would give you plenty, but now when they kind of go behind, they're not really holding on. But no, they have many of the names like Marquee, and not Marquee, over the years, they have a few names you recognize. You ask that name, 5 or 6 Dublin hurlers now, they'll be struggling.
Yeah. Well, Cromie and Sutcliffe are still about Donal. They rely heavily on Donal Burke, and he's their free taker. And of course, Ryan Dwyer is back in tip now, so he's not part of that panel anymore. But yeah, look, I still think Dublin will win it. But again, I wouldn't be surprised to see Antrim give him a good run, and it would be great for the Glensmen to really put it up to Dublin.
Yeah, they're doing kind of a scalping in the championship, aren't they, at this stage? You know, they're getting the bits. The league kind of wins and draws. They're grand, but they're not, like, you know.
Yeah, but I suppose for Antrim, it's probably, they probably get the most out of the league. You know, they're not winning in All-Ireland, so they're possibly looking for a performance, but it's the league where they get the most benefit to bring on their players, you know, and playing against the top teams. Probably totally different to Westmeath in our group, where, you know, they got good games that they could be competitive in. You know, that's and that would bring them on a terrible. Yeah,
you'd have Antrim ahead of Leash on it, Walt, out on it, like, wouldn't
you? Oh,
it?
Yeah, I think, yeah. Jesus, yeah. I think so.
They stepped into that kind of level into kind of the Leinster side, no?
Yeah, I think it'll be Wexford and Dublin, but the Wexford will run out handy winners, and the Dublin Antrim game will be quite close, I think. So earlier on in the year, you would have heard us talking to Cahill from fantasyhurling.ie, and we are back. The championship is back for the Fantasy Hurling, and we have a league. Sean Smith, are you putting in a team?
Oh, I will. I enjoy the old soccer fantasy, I do. I like looking up stats and XGs and all that. Some of us may know what they mean, but is there XGs in hurling? Tony Kelly being any, that's for sure.
So we have a league. We are going to offer a prize, a retro tip jersey for the winner. Our league code will be out on our social medias. Make sure you have a look at that. Enda Tracy has already put in his team with a derogatory name, I have to say. We'll be having words whenever he comes on. But yeah, a bit of crack, lads. We'll discuss how our teams are getting on, and watch out our social medias for the code.
Well, Clem, I'm delighted to be joined by former Clare and All-Ireland hurling winner Colin Ryan to help us look ahead to Sunday's Munster quarter-final between Clare and Waterford. Colin, how are you keeping?
I'm good, no. Thanks for having me on.
No bother at all. So, a big game on Sunday, Colin. What are your impressions of Clare after the league campaign? A loss to Antrim on the opening day, but the ship steadied as the league went on, finishing with a good win.
Yeah, I think a lot was made of that. I think lost to Antrim, but, like, you know, I've gone to Casement Park myself before, and it's not obviously Casement Park anymore. It's Corrigan Park, you know, they're playing in, but equally probably as daunting a task. And when Antrim really get you into their back garden, they really want to show everybody that, you know, they are, you know, they are the real deal, and that they, you know, they belong in the hurling folklore and everything else. And it's really hard to come out of there, and we've often come out of there with 1 point wins, you know. So obviously, you know, Clare were on the wrong side of that, but a lot was made of it. And you know, I think, you know, unfortunately for Liam Corrie getting sent off against Wexford, you know, Clare could have ended the year, you know, having been top of the league table. You know, they could have won all their games after that. So, like, definitely, I think momentum is on their side, you know, towards the end of the campaign. I think that Antrim game might have given them just a kick, you know, in the right direction and kind of just woke them up a small bit. But they're definitely in a good place coming towards the end of the league, you know, especially scoring a lot of goals against Kilkenny.
Yeah, and there's been plenty of experimentation over the few games, no more so than John Conlon, centre-back. Has that been a success for you, or are Clare kind of robbing Peter to pay Paul with him back there?
Yeah, it definitely is. But, you know, at this stage now, it's going to be stuck with, you know, they're not going to change six, you know, at this stage. And I am firmly of the opinion that, like, you can't change something, you know, after one or two games. If you really believe in it and really want it to be, you have to give it time to settle in, you know. And John wouldn't have played centre back. He played a bit with his club there, but he wouldn't have played centre back a lot. And I understand the process. Brian wants, I suppose, a communicator, a steadying, I suppose, factor at centre back. Maybe we haven't had it since Conor Ryan, you know, unfortunately had to leave. Like, so, you know, you look at Declan Hannan and, you know, John would be a very steadying figure, you know, back there. And can he sit in and kind of have everybody work around him, you know, and hold the fort? I do think so. You know, our other team's going to try and exploit it. Of course they are in Championship. But I think that's where maybe our half-forward line are going to have to come into play and track a centre-forward maybe who's going to try and drift off John or something like that.
Yeah. And Lawton and his management team started the league with fairly basic game plans. It would seem to be the long ball into Shanahan was the main game plan, really. It seemed to have got more of a possession-based game going in the last few games. Do you think they're going to stick with that, and does it suit the players?
Yeah, of course it does. You know, when you, like, I think, you know, Aidan McCarthy moving into the forward line is a help. I think, you know, he has found his feet. I kind of thought that he would settle kind of facing the ball, but he's done quite well at wing forward. And obviously, Davy Mack, you know, is a fierce physical specimen to be putting into the half-back line. And I think Dermot Ryan has been our best player this year. I think he has been excellent. I think he has offered something going forward, as well as kind of being, you know, so I think they've steadied up the half-back line, but they've worked the ball through the lines. I think David Reedy, you know, Cullum Galvin, whether he'll start or not, you know, but Cullum can use the ball very well. Tony, but they've mixed it in with the likes of Colin Malone, who's not afraid of the hard work. You know, Paddy Fitzpatrick, not afraid of the hard work. You know, I think they've got a mix in there. I suppose the unfortunate thing now is, you know, obviously hearing that Shane O'Donnell is injured. So, like, that two-pronged attack of Aaron Shanahan and Shane O'Donnell, you know, somebody's just going to have to take up the mantle and fill in for him.
Yeah, defensively, Clare have been a bit suspect in the games to date. Is there enough there to halt the likes of the Bennetts and Austin Gleeson, Desi Hutchinson on the day, do you think?
Yeah, that's the big thing. You know, like, I think there's a lot of talk about Waterford, but, you know, Waterford are missing, you know, well, possibly missing, you know, their 1-3 and 6 from last year, you know. So Waterford probably have as many questions about their defence, you know, if Austin Gleeson, or especially, I think, Conor Prunty isn't playing. You know, I think he's been an exceptional fullback, you know, last year. So, like, I think it will come down to a battle of, you know, are Waterford able to stop Tony Kelly? And are Clare able to kind of have a bit of cohesion and stop Waterford, I think, getting goals? I think if Clare can, you know, stop an onslaught of goals, I think they'll be in with a great chance, because the likes of Desi Hutchison and the Bennetts, you know, really want to go for the juggler, you know, as early as possible. So if they can get the upper hand, you know, I thought Rory Hayes, I think, will obviously be probably a man marker on Hutchinson. You know, he's done quite well. You know, in recent years, I suppose, especially last year, you know, man marking. So it's about whether we have enough players who can pick up, you know, all their danger men around that zone.
As you say, like, both teams scoring fairly heavy in the league, but also conceding a lot. Do you expect it to be a shootout, so, or will Clare try and counteract that running game of Waterford?
Yeah, I expect it to be a shootout. You know, I think if you take that running game away from Clare, then we're probably taking our biggest asset in Tony away. You know, so I think we have to stick it out. I think Brian has been quite clear in how his game plan is going to be. I don't think he'll get too high on, you know, what way they want to play now. He's not going to change things up. I think they're going to work the ball through the lines and try and get scores from distance. I think the likes of Dermot Ryan and David Mack and, you know, Tony and the likes can score from 65 out, you know. So obviously, you know, Waterford on the other side are quite similar with Callum Lyons, and, you know, if Austin Gleeson is playing, you know, they're kind of similar. So yeah, I think both teams will go at it. You know, I really don't see it as being a really negative game.
Yeah. What kind of team do you expect to start? Obviously, Dave McInerney went off injured in the game that he played against Kilkenny, and as you said, O'Donnell's missing. What sort of team do you expect to line up?
Yeah, like I think Davey looks, you know, like he's going to make a recovery. I don't, you know, up here there doesn't seem to be too much worry about him. I suppose, you know, the full back line has been, you know, Rory Hayes and Conor Cleary. I suppose that other corner has been chopped and changed, but Aaron Fitzgerald has kind of settled in there well in the last couple of games, and I can't see him changing from that. Half back line is going to be Dermot Ryan, John, and David Mack if he's fit. Tony, they seem to have mixed Tony with Paddy Fitzpatrick, who, you know, can sit and do that work. I can't see him going away from that. You know, Brian has a very simplistic view on things. You know, if somebody's doing well, he's not gonna rock the boat. And then, you know, your forward line is going to be made up of Cathal Malone, David Reedy, Aaron Shanahan, possibly Mark Rogers, now that, you know, it could be a bolter now that, you know, Shane O'Donnell will be out. And then the other two spots really are up for grabs on who's in form. You know, it will be a mix of either Colm Galvin, you know, if Colm is flying it in training, I'm sure he's going to throw him in there. Aidan McCarthy, sorry, I forgot about Aidan. Aidan's definitely going to be there. So it's going to be that last two spots are between kind of, I suppose, Mark Rogers and Colm Galvin is who I've put in there. But, you know, you're going to have Ian Galvin and Ryan Taylor and a couple more fighting for it. So I suppose them last two spots are really up for grabs this week in training. And the one thing I have to compliment Brian on is that, like, you know, he really does pick on form coming into games. You know, them two players will be two lads who'll be shooting the lights out this week, I'm sure.
Will they have the attacking half-backs of Waterford in mind when they're named a half-forward line to kind of curtail Caelum Lyons and Kieran Bennett?
Yeah, quite possibly. You know, I think Cathal Malone has been doing that role really well for Clare, you know, so it's really about finding that other, you know, person. They might move Paddy Fitzpatrick in there. You know, Paddy's a good man marker. You know, I've seen it at club level. You know, he keeps people busy, keeps them honest. And I think Cathal Malone will try and get Kieran Bennett turned and going back the other way. You know, I can't see him putting Cathal Malone on Callum Lyons. Now, that'll be whether Waterford want to make that matchup or not. You know, if I was looking at it, I'd probably put Paddy Fitzpatrick on Callum Lyons and Cathal Malone on Kieran Bennett, you know, because Malone might turn Bennett, whereas Paddy will track Callum Lyons, you know, and keep that, you know. I think you'd be losing Cathal Malone if you were putting him on Callum Lyons, you know.
Yeah, and just on Lohan, he's had a tough set of circumstances since he's come in as manager with COVID and the things going on in the background in Clare. How has he done so far, in your opinion? Is he improving the team and getting the most out of what he has?
Yeah, like, you know, I think people are very quick to point to fingers. You know, Brian is doing a good job as far as I'm concerned. You know, he's there is probably a thought process there that, you know, do we have the panel to contest for an All-Ireland? You know, probably not. I think he's doing the best at what he has at the minute. But I do think the one thing this Clare team has is when they get momentum, you know, they really seem to play with a bit of freedom. You know, you could see that kind of, I think, last year, you know, when they got the run on Wexford. And I think if they got a positive result against Waterford, you know, it's amazing what momentum can do for you, you know, and a simplistic tactical game plan. You know, Brian isn't going to overcomplicate anything, but, you know, is he getting the balance right? I think, you know, he's trying his best. And, you know, with the personnel we have, you know, he's improved Aidan McCarthy, he's improved Cathal Malone. You know, he has improved, you know, he's obviously tried something with John, you know, going back to centre-back. So, like, they're definitely trying things. It's about whether we have 20 players who are going to be able to make a difference on the day, you know.
Yeah. And so, call it. Where will the game be won and lost, and what do Clare need to happen to get the win?
You know, I seriously think Aaron Shanahan is going to have a really good game. I think, I think if Aaron, you know, can get a goal, you know, if we can keep our, you know, impose our running game on him, you know, get Tony going forward and getting him on the ball. Like, you can, Waterford can say all they want that they'll have man marker on Tony. You know, we've done it at club level. It's near impossible. You know, so if they can get the ball to Tony as much as possible, and then obviously create them one-on-ones inside with Aaron, you know, obviously, you know, if Prunty's not playing, that's, you know, the exposure there in the Waterford full back line, especially with Aaron being, you know, the size and the hand he has and the directness, he's going to go for goal. But then on the other hand, you know, Rory Hayes is going to have a really good game on Desi Hutchinson, you know, and we're going to have to keep the Bennett. Everybody's going to have to play their role. I would expect, you know, probably David Mack to pick up one of the Bennett's, you know, and keep them busy. So, like, it is going to be personal matchups. It's going to be enough, you know, who's going to win them personal duels, and that will determine who comes out on top.
So, Clare win?
Yeah, I'm quite positive going into, you know, I really do think, you know, a lot has been talked about this Waterford team and stuff like that, but I don't think, you know, yes, they got to, you know, the business end last year, but, you know, I think they're a bit weakened. You know, I think that Pádraig Amahany isn't there, you know, is Austin Gleeson, Prunty, Tadhg De Burca. You know, it's like, these are big players that, you know, are questionable. And even if they are right, you know, are they 100% fit? You know, is the marker there? You know, I'd be saying go at them, you know, and really give them a chance. But when you miss, I think Waterford, Clare, teams like this can't afford to miss players, you know, of all-star ability like that, you know, and think that they, you know, will get away with it.
Yeah. That That's great, Colin. Thanks very much for joining us on the Premier View podcast, and hopefully we'll chat again soon.
No problem. Thanks a million, Enda.
Okay, lads, we're 10 days out from Championship, and Tracy is on the line. We're going to go to him very first. We're going to pick our podcast team that we think Liam Sheedy should pick if we were in charge. Enda Tracy, you didn't pick either of the two goalkeepers on your North team, North senior team. How are you going to pick a goalkeeper for Tip?
Yeah, that was more of a...
Stop trying to claw back.
That was more of a third tree other kind of dangling lads rather than the goalie. But I'd be starting Barry Hogan in the goals anyway. Three matches he played, he was really solid there. Pocott's really good. I think he deserves a shot there in Championship. Full back line, sure, picks itself. Cathal Barrett, Pádraig Maher, Barry Heffernan. And half back line, Brendan, Seamus Kennedy, and Ronan. I think that's pretty solid, and that's probably what's going to be the back line anyway. I went for Paddy Cadell and Dan McCormack midfield. Impressed with Cadell as well. I have a great time for him. I think he's a class player. Links it up really well, and he really works hard in the middle of the field. He'll be able to take a score as well. And himself and Dan would work well there in the middle, I think. Half forward line then, I had originally picked Niall O'Meara, but he's injured. If he was there, I'd have him number 10. But we give Breen a twist there, I think, and put Noel in the centre and Bubbles on the wing. And then full forward line goes without saying, John McGrath, Jason Ford, Shamie Cal.
So you have Barry Hogan, obviously, that's a change. And you have Paddy Cadell.
Mm-hmm.
And Niall O'Meara is out. Sean Smith, what do you think? Are you disagreeing or agreeing?
I'd be the same back seven, innit? I'd be going Barry Hogan. Pocket was taught work. Up there on it, but again, it's toss up and goes. And I think, to be honest, Leighton's going to pick Brian, so but I'm just going to what I want to see out there. Sure, full back lines the same. I think the back six kind of picked themselves a few weeks ago, to be honest, as we're saying here in the podcast. There's no change there. Midfield, I went to Breen, the same go, he'll give you everything, he'll give you nothing. I went to Breen anyway, and Dan McCormack, half four line. Then we moved out John McGrath there. With Noel and Bubbles, and then for Farland, twin Jake Morris again. He could give us everything or give us nothing. Jason Ford and Shamie Cannon. So, compared to end, I've thrown in Breen and in the end. So, Jake Morris, the other different one I have there now.
I think he deserves the twist after the league he had.
I can't. The league is poor and what he did, but I just feel I start him. And then if he doesn't do that, and we'll be off half time and we won't see him again.
Okay.
That's kind of where I go with it.
Right, Mike, how many West men have you on the team?
Well, I normally try to get as many West men as I can onto any team that we pick here. Before we start, I'm going to say that the best goalkeeper in the county is in the West and isn't on the panel. That's Dara Mooney. So I have said that before. No, I'm going to go with Brian in the goals. Just to play, I suppose, devil's advocate, I do think Liam is going to pick Brian in the goals as well. Same as Sean, I think he is going to pick him. There probably isn't too much between either of the two of them. Barry did quite well in the three games, and I think the fact that Brian was picked for the last two games means that he would start Championship. Full back line, I think, picks itself, Cathal Paddy and Barry Heffernan. I'm in a I had same three in the half back line, Seamus, Brendan, and Ronan, but I'm picking Brendan at centre back. I think he kind of anchors it a little bit better than Seamus. I think Kendi is brilliant on the wing anyway at five. I think that's his best position. And I think after the Waterford game where we looked a little, I suppose, open down the middle, Brendan would hang there and be solid at centre back. Same as you, Enda, Paddy Cadell and Dan McCormack in the middle of the field, and I expect to see Dan play that kind of deep role that he plays with Boris Ali and oftentimes with Tip, where he's kind of himself and Brendan obviously work very well together as club mates, and they can switch in and out and they cover for each other and know each other so well. I think it's a good dynamic there. And I'm with you. Paddy Gidel has been defined for me of the league. I think he has it. We spoke about him earlier on, actually, in the podcast. He's been a leader for the Brackens, and he's a terrific player. Up front, I have Noel at centre-forward, Bubbles and Jason Ford on the wing. Ford, I know he's probably taking him away from the goals a little bit, but I think he's able to play on the wing. And my inside line is John McGrath, Jamie Cannon and Jake Morris. Breen, for me, is too inconsistent and hasn't shown enough during the league to get a start. And then, obviously, the injury to Bonner. So that's why Jake Morris comes in for me.
Say the same thing about Jake, though.
Yes, but Breen has been inconsistent for a couple of years and he just doesn't seem to be able to shake that inconsistency. And I think Morris is a guy that would play himself into form, and he seemed to be coming into a little bit of form. Like we saw with Breen, he came on and he got the couple of points and then went out, started the next day and wasn't great, you know. And yeah, that's, I think it's that inconsistency.
Yeah, go the next day then, come around. Like.
it's not every second day, so.
I agree with you, though. If Niall O'Mara was fit, I'd have him starting out of Breen.
Yeah, I mean, it would be interesting if we Niall had his appendix out, so he will be back, I think. So, but if we had Bonner fit and we had Niall O'Mara, it would be interesting to see what way the team was picked, you know, because they're obviously two workhorses as well, which is something that we're going to be missing.
Yeah. So where's the compromise here, lads? I'll give you Jeff.
You can have Cadell. The way I saw it is, like, just get in Breen, you know, quick enough, you're not playing. Cadell can't come on for him. Like it's not like a game where she's going to let the game get 5, 6, 7 points out of hand on it. Like, and change would be made if after.
Did Cadell play every league match? He missed one.
Missed one, I think, didn't he?
So he was fairly consistently picked there, and he played well.
Yeah, so no.
I think he's more than likely going to be starting.
Like, who's his opposition? Like, no, we're talking about probably Noel. Noel would probably be in the middle of the field if Bubbles and Maher were Bonner Maher were fit. I think that's fair to say. But without them, without the two of them in the forwards, Noel probably gives you that bit more scoring and experience up there.
Yeah, I'd give Breen as well. I think he's a better impact, so I'm not in starting at this stage, to be honest. And yeah, Niall O'Mara was playing, he'd be out. So what's the team? So we've the back seven. You're giving us Cadell, Sean. Bubbles. Where do you think? What about Jason Ford on the wing? Does he not play his best hurling in full forward? Would you put him out on the wing?
Well, I wouldn't move Shane McCallan out of full forward, I think.
That's the problem. Yeah, I'd be the same.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put Shane out of forward either. So I'd rather Ford. I'd have Ford inside anyway.
Would you leave the two of them inside? Because like three man full forward lines aren't a thing anymore.
So it depends where they go with the other corner forward again. If it's a Noel and something like that, them lads gonna roam back anyway. Like, depends on the half forward and how they line out, because one of them could drop back. And then Dan McCormick will drop back. You know, so I'm going to be dropping one all the way along.
Yeah. So who would you have coming in off the bench then, first five subs?
Willie Connors anyway, to mix up a forward line.
Yeah.
I suppose, yeah, Breen and Willie are going to be the kind of forward midfield cover, aren't they, the two of them? Alan Flynn is probably another one that's going to come into that. Three will probably cover that. Cover for the backs. We didn't see much of John Maher. We didn't see any of John Maher, did we, in the league?
Come on.
But the backs kind of picked themselves in the league, didn't they? And so the hard, not to break in, we're all saying just Barrett and Heffron drew rest. They never really got it, really, you know?
Yeah, Craig Morgan was probably out of the picture, you know, and he only played the last... He came on as a blood sub, didn't he, for Barrett?
Yeah.
Came on for him with,
so he'd probably be one of the backs that could be coming in there, you know? You hope that the back's doing enough and you don't need to risk and bounce.
Yeah, Owen Connolly got, I mean, he only got 3 or 4 minutes, so he's probably not an option for the championship.
I was disappointed he didn't get more game time, though, actually. I was very disappointed he didn't get more game time.
Yeah, I mean, that league seemed ideal to give. But I think Sheedy was picking his team, and there was very little changes, you know, and that was seemed to be the way he was going. Dylan Quirk got a start and didn't impress, was whipped at halftime, so I don't think he's probably in the... Bear, he's really turned it around in training in the 4 weeks. He's probably not going to be in the running. Our panel is probably a bit short, is it?
Yeah, compared to what we're saying there 6-7 weeks back. Sorry, we're naming out lads we love to see get good at one on the league and didn't really get it, or they got it but didn't impress. And we're kind of back to, as we said, we're back to the same team with one or two changes. That's it. Our Bonner being only very injured, like, you know, so...
In terms of experience, we haven't much, but there's ability there to command, you know what I mean? There is ability. Like before 2019, we were saying we didn't have a panel. Then by the time the All-Ireland was won, there was 4 or 5 lads contributing off the bench in the semi and the final. Like.
Yeah. Scoring wonder points. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
More.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, look, I suppose on a case of 2-1, Barry is getting the nod in the goals. We're okay on the full back line. Half back line, we're agreed on the three. Positionally wise, do you think Kendi will be centre back, or will it be Brendan, or even Ronan? Obviously, he can play there too.
Yeah, you're probably right. Brendan probably will go back there, but it's not a major switch. Like, do you know what I mean? They can be doing that in and out of the match. Do you know what I mean?
And it could be against two other players.
Yeah, exactly.
For a player as well, like, you know, different style of teams. You know, water from going through in the middle. Clear might take pop shots.
Yeah.
I would feel more.
Yeah, I'd try him.
So
I'm putting
centre
back there. Yeah.
Yeah. Cadella McCormack, Sean. You were probably outvoted, but are you okay with that?
Oh, fine. I was fine with Cadella over here on the pod. Never like so. He's actually my first sub in and list I sent in the after. So he was wearing the first twist in there.
Yeah. Did we all pick Bubbles at wing forward?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Form just looks good.
Has Noel at centre forward.
Yeah.
And we are number 12, our wing, the other wing forward. What are we looking at?
John McGrann, yeah.
Yeah.
You had Michael Breen and I have Ford.
John McGrann, maybe. John McGrann.
Leave it for a minute. Full forward. I'm stuck on Callanan for full forward. I think that's his position.
I'd like to see Ford in full forward. I think Callanan can do damage in other places. And with Ford full forward, he does not a lot of damage. And he was probably our best forward in the league as well, lads. Don't forget that as well.
Oh, without a doubt. He was very good.
Just when he's close to goals, he's as deadly as Callanan can be as well.
So
it's a toss up, like, for me.
Yeah.
But look, can't argue with the best goal scorer tips ever had in full forward at the other side of it as well.
Are you playing Callanan then in the corner? Is it?
Yeah.
Say, or picking him at the corner and probably the two of them as a two man inside, full forward.
Two of them inside.
It's probably something. It probably makes sense. It's something that's probably going. You're changing my mind. I go with Ford and Callanan in the full forward line. What do you think, Sean?
Yeah, I that down there. So yeah, I John O'Half. Like, now Jake in the corner, and I think he'd be Roman. And if the other corner, however the other corner forward is with Callanan Ford, will be the man coming out the field or pushing out away. Yeah.
Are we agreed that John Mack and Jake are going to be the two that starts, and it's just positionally wise, or?
Yeah, I'd say so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll give you that, yeah. I had Breen down, but surely. I only have him down by default, really.
So, Jake will probably be named in the full forward line and will be the one to travel. Or they'll probably take it in turns himself and Ford and going out to field. Ford did a lot as Roman, actually, during the league. He was out around the middle of the field a good bit, so.
Yeah, that's a solid team, lads.
Yeah, I think it's it's as good as we can get at the moment with the two boys out. And I suppose Michael Breen and Willie Connors would probably feel hard done by, won't they? And they were the next 16 and 17, were they?
Yeah.
Send it off to Leemler now, so tell him it's started.
So that's the podcast team. Barry Hogan in goals, Cathal Barrett, Paddy Maher, Barry Heffernan in the full back line, Seamus Kendi, Brendan Maher and Ronan Maher in the half line, Paddy Cadell, Dan McCormack in the middle of the field, Bubbles, Noel and John McGrath in the half forward line, Jake Morris, and then Ford and Kellnan in a two-man full forward line. Yeah, it'll be interesting. Friday week, we'll see if we were right or wrong, but that's our podcast team for the semi-final. And that's all we have time for this week, folks. Enda, you don't have anything else, do you? Since you were late on.
Nothing else.
You lost the semi-final at the weekend. We were talking about it earlier on, but maybe do you want to have your own say on it?
Very little in it. I think what came down to in the end was just a bit of extra fitness from the Ayr Vale boys. It was a very, very tight game all the way through. It's just, it could have easily been a one-point win for Toome. So we seem to be on the wrong end of those results for the last 3 or 4 years against first teams in semi-finals and finals. It's just not working out for us.
Yeah, I know. Obviously, it looked like quite a good game. Self and Sean were in goal, and another game we were following it on Twitter. But yeah, tough one. But I was delighted the Rovers got it. I'd like to see the Rovers win the final now. How did Johnny Ryan play? Did he stand out?
You know, he didn't really stand out. To be honest, I had to look twice at him. He's not as fit as I remember him. I think since he's gone off the tip under 20 panel, maybe he's not putting in this is harsh enough now, but not putting in the effort. But from play, he was named centre forward, but he didn't really get into the play. He hit the freeze well enough. But he didn't really stand out as a lad that you would have seen on a tip panel, do you know what I mean? But they had the other lads around there. I can't remember the names off the top of my head, but their full forward line were very good. Number 15 was excellent. He scored 5 or 6 points from play. But they were fit. They were a bit awkward. Now I think we had more hurdles than them, but they were way fitter than us.
Yeah.
You know, they were really tall down the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, very good. And what do you make of your county draw to Nolte?
Well, from a team, I don't think they could have asked for a better draw. That's not to say that they'll win every game handy now, but in terms of the teams you invited, your first seed team, if you're going to pick, you'd pick Clonaulty instead of Turles, Kildangan or Burris all day long. And then you have Mullinahone or the Seamus Horeen winners, so you're going to be looking for them. And I think Holy Cross, good enough team, but they're beatable from our perspective.
That's Ryan Mara is a big loss for
them. Big loss as well, yeah. And there's no easy games in it, but if that was the group I would have picked beforehand, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you know I'm going to clip this bit and send it to the Clonaulty dressing room.
They'll be like, who the fuck is that guy?
Very good. Yeah, that's all we have time for, folks. Thanks to Colin Ryan from Clare for joining us for the Waterford preview, Enda and Sean, and hopefully we will see you again next week. Until next time, Tibberdarnaboo. See you later, lads.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.